Good morning, colleagues. My name is Lozana Oberholzer, and I'm one of the conference committee team for the DOCP's conference in June this year. And I'm really delighted to introduce you to our current chair, Dr. Natalie Lancer, who will be talking to us a little bit about her keynote and what we can expect at the event. Natalie, over to you just to tell us a bit more about yourself and what you're hoping to share with us.
So, as you know, I've been chair of the Division of Coaching Psychology for 2 years, and I'm about to hand over to you, Lizana. And one of the things, as we've gone through these 2 years, and as the division has matured since it started, is we've been thinking a lot about what does coaching psychology mean compared to coaching. And we're quite clear as a division that this is a focus on research and being a scientist practitioner. But I decided to turn my attention this year to coaching psychology supervision. And what does that look like compared to coaching supervision? Is there a difference? Does anyone even know the answer to this question? Coaching psychologists have to engage in supervision in order to be chartered, and indeed, they will want to engage in supervision beyond chartership. And supervision is something that occurs in many different allied fields, for example, psychotherapy, counselling psychology, clinical psychology. And what I think's been happening is that coaching psychology supervision has liberally borrowed from these other fields to make a supervision provision. And I'm suggesting that we can do better than that, that we don't need to borrow quite as liberally from these other fields. Not that we want to reinvent the wheel, of course, but we can really think from first principles about what coaching psychology supervision might achieve and what it might look like. In fact, I almost think we should start with the end in mind and think about what is the type of coaching psychologist you want at the end of several sessions of supervision, and then work backwards and work out how you're going to get there. And because what a coaching psychologist is different to a coach and a counselling psychologist and a psychotherapist, it makes sense that the supervision would look different as well. I've got a number of thoughts about what supervision could include, and I've also got a research student who's actually pulled together some data and done some interviews about what coaching psychology supervision looks like and how that is different to coaching. So, in this talk, I'm going to share some of this information, some of my thoughts, some of my students' work, and hopefully, I'm going to give you food for thought so that you can try out a different sort of supervision. You can suggest to your supervisors, actually, this is what I would like to do in my supervision. And for those of you who are supervisors, I hope that you will feel brave and courageous so that you can adapt and be creative with the sort of supervision you offer.
That's really lovely. Thank you for that summary, Natalie. And I know I've been talking to your students as well. It's a really, really interesting study, isn't it, in terms of supervision, what it means, and also what we're hoping to achieve and reimagining that whole piece of work. And I know you also work in the field of supervision. So do you also think that, again, just thinking about your supervision that you currently offer, the tensions, the eight tensions, do you think that some of those principles can also feed into then the way or the direction you are thinking about in terms of reimagining this particular space?
Definitely. I think there's several layers to this. There's what does the supervision look like almost from a logistical point of view? So, not only logistical, but also relational, meaning, how many people are in the group? And are these people all equal to the supervisor? Or is the supervisor somehow on a pedestal with more power? Or is that more of a facilitative role that the supervisor is going to take? So there's that sort of structural stuff. And then there is what is the content of the supervision? And most supervision is, you turn up, you talk about a client in depth, everyone else nods, they might ask you a few questions, and then that's it. The supervision that I do is much more structured, as you said, around the eight tensions framework, which is something that was derived from my doctoral work. And I use the flipped classroom approach, which I know you're familiar with, which is when you essentially send information in advance. So I send a video about each of these tensions in advance of the supervision. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone knows what we're discussing. It's essentially a theme for that month. And everyone has time to think about what are their case studies, what are their clients that they'd like to bring to the supervision. But it's not only clients, it's also about themselves. You know, are there aspects of themselves as coaches that relate to that theme or that tension? And because I use this flipped classroom method where everyone's listening to a 20-minute presentation before we come, I feel like everyone's got this sort of level playing field. It's pretty new to everyone, all this existential psychology, but everyone's had time to look at it and time to digest. And I also provide some reflective exercises for people to do in advance. And so what happens is when we come to the supervision, it's a bit like we hit the ground running. That warm-up's already happened because they've done that offline, and people have already had time to think, they've had time to reflect, they even put it in a shared document. So it feels much more purposeful and much more sort of structured. It's definitely much more structured. But if you think about what a coaching conversation is, you know, we are quite structured people. We are used to models, we are used to hosting and facilitating structured conversations. And my thinking, going back to what do you want at the end, you know, when you've got a coaching psychologist who's attended supervision over a year, what are you looking for at the end? It seems to me that having a structured form of supervision marries up with that professional at the end who is providing a structured conversation for their clients. There's obviously a similarity there. There's also a similarity in terms of hierarchy. You know, we pride ourselves as coaching psychologists that we have a much more egalitarian view of the dyad with the client compared to, you know, psychologists who don white coats potentially. I'm not sure if anyone dons white coats anymore, but the point is that some psychologists, you know, are very much the expert, and as we know from coaching, we assume the client's the expert.
There's definitely a different emphasis shift in there, and it's a very co-constructive learning relationship. And I think what makes it really interesting is also that opportunity to engage with in that video, the reading. I was very lucky to be part of the journey at some point, and also then to have those rich conversations where, you know, the group really unpacks their thinking, their learning, and also add to that content in terms of their, you know, understanding of what's being discussed. And I think what's really interesting is then that you deepen that reflection into a reflexive piece. So you move on from reflection to reflexive practice to then enable you to have that long-term behavioral change because you'd address your values and your beliefs through those conversations as well. So a lot of things to think about here in terms of what do we want this space to look like. And again, through your own innovative practice, Natalie, you really are starting to pave the way and showing us different ways forward. Now, we don't want to give away too much of your keynote, but I can tell that this is going to be a really exciting keynote to engage with. And I thought it would be really lovely to just hear from you. What would you like colleagues to also take away from the conference, and why do you feel they need to come along and attend?
Well, the conference is the highlight of my professional year. And I do hope it's the highlight of everyone listening professional year. It's great because we get to see everyone in person. You know, that's really where relationships are formed and maintained. And there's so many ideas that people are exchanging and building on, and there's also nuggets for future research that people are growing and incubating, that get moved along. And sometimes, you know, when we're thinking about future research or we're thinking about concepts, there's only so much thinking and doing you can do on your own. But when you're in a group of people where it's like sort of very fertile ground there, and You can ask people directly. You can ask four professors about their view of your research project within 10 minutes. I mean, who has access normally to people like that? So for me, it's, a real time to swap ideas and to catch up with people, meet new people, have a really good idea of what's happening at the frontier of coaching psychology.
Absolutely. And last year was definitely an opportunity to meet your coaching heroes. I think we had quite a excellent lineup of wonderful researchers and authors, and we had some great feedback from colleagues in terms of that opportunity to talk to people that they've only read about face to face. And again, this year it's promising to be similarly exciting, and we also have a parliamentarian with us as well on the first day. And I don't know if you just want to touch on that quickly for us to tell us
Yes.
who that might be and what can we expect.
Well, we're very lucky because Lisa Cameron, MP, is the only practicing, actually, I'm not sure she's practicing now, but she was a practicing psychologist. She's actually a member of DOCP. I think she was a clinical psychologist first, but is now also a coaching psychologist. And that's why she is giving a keynote. She's got very big ideas for coaching and how coaching can impact all people in society.
Lovely. Thank you for joining me, and we're really looking forward to hearing more about your work and also your research, Natalie.
Thank you.